I can tell that you were playing there with the light heavyweight champion, Piero. I like that Piero clip. Maybe he could get to the really big fight. I think maybe he could even get to Alex Piero. And if John really wanted that fight with Piero, bringing up this huge payday with Piero.
There are a number of reasons why I love this show. One being Chael's inability to pronounce the most famous fighter in the top weights in the UFC, Chael. I gotta tell you one thing, my friend. I don't know if it's a gimmick or if it's real, but the one thing I do not respect anymore is a University of Oregon education. I'm sorry, my guy. I'm sorry.
Daniel, mistakes happen. I get confused for Kevin Hart or RC all the time.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm the good guy, Daniel Cormier. That's the bad guy, Chael Sonnen. Also the bad pronunciator of names, Chael Sonnen. But mistakes do happen. But let me tell you one thing, Chael. I'm not Michael Chandler. When I get good things, I don't brag. I don't boast. But for once, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I booked one of my friends to join us. So for our very first interview, our sit down, why not have my good buddy Islam Makhachev? So while we do have a great show, why not start with the champ, Chael? Let's go. Let's get to Islam. You see, Chael? So, hey, my friend, Islam Makhachev. Hey, Islam, my friend Islam, this is my buddy Chael. This is the bad guy. Uh-huh. I'm the good guy. And welcome to my show. What's up, champ?
I have to change the name to your podcast.
Why?
Fat guy. And bad guy. It's more cool.
Hey, oh my God. It's true. Hey, so you know what this episode is now? Fat guy, bad guy, rich guy. Chael, I promise you, I was on a FaceTime with this guy. He's in Dubai. Toilet. Complete gold. 24 karat gold, this guy. Crazy rich
I
guy.
I swear to God, look at this guy liar. I swear to God, this guy liar. No, it's not true, man.
Islam. Islam, I gotta ask you a question. Every upset in history has one ingredient, which is the guy that gets upset finds himself in a contest that's harder than he thought it was going to be. Now, I gotta present it to you like that, because when I read your tweets, I think they call it X now, you've talked about Gaethje, you talked about Oliveira, you talked about Sarkarian. When it got announced that it was Dustin, that's one guy you hadn't mentioned, and I follow you pretty closely, so I'm just asking you, are you in a fight that's harder than you're aware?
Oof, now we have Dustin, you know. He, honestly, some people think I'm underestimating a bit, but this guy is so tough. And he's a dangerous, he's a legend, he has experience, you know, and he's the most dangerous guy in the striking in this division. And this guy have very good guillotine. That's why I'm training so hard.
No, he's lying. And he's being disrespectful. Look at his face. He's starting to laugh. Chael, he's starting to laugh. He's being disrespectful. I can tell. He's starting to laugh. You saw it, Chael.
No. Brother, please. I honestly respect him, but okay, I don't respect his guillotine, but his skill.
That's what I'm talking about. The guillotine.
Because I never see him finish someone in guillotine. Maybe one day, but it's not going to be me.
He almost had Habib in the guillotine. Habib even said it was tight.
No. Before the fight, I swear to God, Habib told me, hey, catch me in guillotine. I have to feel. I will give him my neck and make him tired. And what we did in the lucky,
really?
You know, before the fight. Yes.
Wow. Okay, so Islam, are you surprised that it was Dustin Poirier? Because I know, I believe that this is right for you. Because I believe you have to fight these guys that the division was known for to take their star power. But were you surprised that it was Dustin, considering he lost to Gaethje only one fight before beating a young up-and-coming guy like Benoit Saint-Denis?
Man, how he beat the Benoit. He just smashed him. And, you know, if I want to clean division, I have to fight with Dustin, with all these guys, you know. Because now we have some of the guy, Arman, but he's not ready for fighting soon. You know, he want to fight, or I don't know, October, November.
Hey, that's what I was going to say, though. Like, that's what I was going to say. Arman Tsarukyan would seem to be the guy, right? Yeah. You know, you guys had a very fun fight. I don't think... Did he win one round, like 29-28 on one judge's scorecard?
No. I beat him all rounds. I beat him already. I beat Charles. Now I have new name, Dustin. And this is very good for the... My, no, what would they call?
Career, standing,
popularity,
golden toilets. All right, Islam, can I jump in on one? I have never heard you ask Dana and the UFC for anything, except you did say, I'd like some parity. I'd like to not be doing rematches all the time. That struck me as a very reasonable request by you. But when we do look at Sicarian versus Oliveira at 300, that was supposedly the semifinal to draw into you, and that would be a rematch either way. So when you got the call that it was Dustin, was there part of you that's like, great, I get a new name at least? I would have liked to do all those rematches either, and I'm just wondering how you felt about
having
the parody.
I don't like this shit about the rematch because I already beat Volkanovski 2 times. I need some new name in the list. You're right. Because,
sure,
you know, in the rematch, you don't have some, like, motivation. But for some new name, you have, you know, in the list, it's going to be good when I beat Poirier.
In Islam, if we went back to 300, was there a part of you that at least for a moment thought maybe your next opponent would be Max? When you saw Max go get that belt, did you think maybe he's coming for me?
Honestly, Max have job in his division, and I don't want to give chance to Max because people still talking. I'm not defense my belt with the light heavyweight guys. That's why I need some real contender on my division, and I want to clean my division and fight was with Walter Wade.
I had a fight with someone the other day about this, Islam. I'm arguing because they're like, well, Islam hasn't defended his belt. I was like, he did. I was like, he beat the same guy that gave him twice. I go, he was fighting Oliveira again. I go, Islam didn't say, let me fight Volkanovski. Volkanovski had beat everybody so much that they gave him a chance. And then when Oliveira fell out, they gave him another chance. And you knocked him out, right? You beat him better the second time than you did the first time. But I am wondering, what is your desired outcome against Dustin Poirier? Because it would seem as though taking him down and grinding him out is the easier path. But are you falling in love with the knockout after what you did to Alexander Volkanovski? Do you think you can knock out Dustin Poirier?
Brother, honestly, I can do many things. Because every time when he fight for the champion, somebody choke him. Now I have to prepare something special. And we did in the gym. I have something special for next fight. And what the people say about the Volkanovski, this is guy the most danger, most tough guy in the UFC, you know. If you want to beat this guy, I say this before, you have to turn off the light, you know. This guy is going to fight 5 rounds, 10 rounds. He give me one of the hardest fights.
You know why they say that? You know why they say that? They only say that because in the first fight, in the 5th round, when he take you, it looked more like when I beat you, right? Instead of like when you on your back and you like get taken down, that looked
brother,
like whenever
when
you try to go with me
somebody.
And I just kill you. I beat somebody yesterday, AKA I went.
Brother,
I went
come,
AKA
come
yesterday, I killed
now.
Someone.
Come to the
when,
camp now, I
when can
show
I
you
come?
My shit. I'm in New Jersey now.
All right.
I know I will eat you. I will eat you alive if I go to camp. 5 rounds, you and me.
This guy, chill.
In the vein, though, of discussing DC and bigger weight classes, I've watched all of your fights, partner. But I've also watched all of your weigh-ins. And it strikes me from my living room that 155 is not the most pleasant experience you're having. Am I close on that? Is there a certain amount at 55 where you may walk away from the division and go up to 70?
Man, who we have next? Now we have Poirier. After, if I beat Poirier and Armand, I don't know. I don't have some job in my division. And I need the second belt. I think I deserve
it. Does it interest you, though?
When you look at 170,
does that interest you?
Yeah, of course. This is my dream.
Okay.
To be double champion.
I didn't know that.
I've never heard you say that.
That's outstanding.
I want to beat DC record. He's a double champion in the KA. I have to be second guy.
I'm the only double champion in AKA. Hey, it's hard. Chill, it's hard to keep records in AKA, but right now, I'm still the only double champion. So
take the second belt and defense, and I will beat your record.
No, you won't, because I defense light heavyweight, I defense heavyweight. I'm still the only guy in UFC history to defense both. So, ha, take that back to New Jersey.
I will, man.
Hey, so Islam, listen. Islam, when I think of you, right, I think of a time where, you know, you and Islam Mamedov would come and it was just two Islams and we differentiated between you guys with the T-shirt. But now you're a world champion. You are a guy that is as good as anyone in the world. When you,
that moment, you say you don't believe Islam one day will be pound for pound best fighter in the world. But
you remember that? Dude, I'm telling you, like, Islam. It was Khabib first, and then you started to show up, you and Islam, and one had a red shirt, one had a black shirt. Islam red, Islam black. This is what we used to call
it. Green.
Green. Islam green, Islam black. And this guy, but when you look back on the journey, Islam, did you ever think, like, it's easy to say that I'm going to be the best fighter in the world, but did you ever really imagine that this would come to fruition? And now that you're living it, how much has changed? Like, what's changed in your life from before when you would walk from the Homewood Suites over to Lucky to Fuki to AKA? Like, what's changed now for you?
Honestly, I miss this place because, you know, all the area in San Jose, I know we have just AKA, we have to eat Fuki, and we stay in Stay America. They have before there some coffee shop there. And we're training, do every day same things. And now it's a little bit changed, of course. Now I can come to the camp before like 1 month, take some big house, take some gym, bring all team, you know. But that moment when I had first time, I remember we live in San Francisco. We come to training. And between training, we sleep in the car, in the parking, and close to AKA. But now,
Islam,
we can change something.
I love that. I love that story, and I love the humble beginnings. Listen, you knew about this fight in terms of the date. You knew it would be in Newark. You knew it would be a main event of pay-per-view. You didn't know who the opponent was. Did that change training? Did that change a motivation for better or worse when you finally got that piece of the answer in Dustin Poirier?
No, honestly, Dustin Poirier is a big name, man. I want to beat him because on the list it's gonna be, you know, Dustin Poirier. It's how many title fight he have? How many guys, tough guys he beat? He beat Conor. He beat Chandler. He beat many guys, but he have a problem with the people who have good wrestling and grappling.
Yes. And Islam, by the way, a lot of people have been complimenting me and congratulating me on being in the Hall of Fame. Did you want to say some nice words to me while you're here? Was there anything you wanted to say to me?
I want to ask how to be there. Maybe one day I will join.
I love it. Thank you for joining us. DC, back to you.
Hey, you're supposed to tell him congratulations, Chael, on making the Hall of Fame, dude.
Congratulations, Chael. You're the legend. You deserve everything.
Thank you, Islam.
He's the greatest. When you're undefeated and you won every single fight you ever had, you're like...
No, you're the greatest trash talker in MMA. 100%.
I'll take it.
Islam.
Thank you.
When you go to that octagon for UFC 302 and you're back in the United States because the last couple have been in Abu Dhabi, what do you think I'll be there, bro. I'll be there. I can't wait to watch it. But talk about the beginning, right? Like, you guys have a history in New Jersey, being on the East Coast, having an opportunity to fight so close to New York City. It's excitement to be back in the octagon. What has the time away been like for you? And what are you expecting? Like, how do you expect that fight to finish with Dustin Poirier in just a matter of weeks?
You know, I'm happy to be here, defense my belt, first time in the U.S. And honestly, if I defense my belt now, I want to come back and defense my belt again in Madison Square Garden. And very excited because from the last fight, it's almost how years I'm not fighting, but all this 5-6 months I keep training. That's why when they told me I will fight in June 1st, I told Ali, it doesn't matter. I will be ready who is going to be there. I will be there. Doesn't matter who is going to be opponent.
That's good, champ. Champ, listen, we're going to let you go. But hey, send me your birthday and the airport you fly out of in Dagestan. I'm buying you and Khabib tickets. I'm taking y'all to the Olympic Games. We cannot miss the Olympic wrestling. Me, wow. You, Khabib. Hey, we
you
go
come to
Olympic
Paris?
Games. Me, you, Khabib in Paris. We experience the Olympic Games together. Not Greco-Roman, not women's, only men's freestyle wrestling. You,
brother, okay.
Me, and Khabib.
Okay.
Send
Don't
me your
lie.
Birthday.
Or who, which red division you think U.S. win? Which one?
In men's freestyle wrestling?
Yeah,
Kyle Dake wins. Kyle Dake wins. 74 kilos.
Stop.
We win. 57 kilos we win.
Don't trash. Please don't trash. 74 kilos. We have two guys who beat him already. Sidako, Kadimagomedov. Who is
We're
next?
Ready.
Taylor. I don't know. I believe just Taylor. But he's not going to be there.
Taylor's not on the Olympic team. Taylor did not make the Olympic team.
You lose the medal. Sorry. If you come to Paris, you will upset because it's not. I feel it's not best team in US now. You don't have best guys in the team now.
You're being released from the show now.
Sadulayev.
You're being released from the show
Azudino.
Now. You're now being
Sidako.
Released from the show.
Uguye.
You cannot do
brother,
this.
Crazy, okay. Crazy.
Islam.
Just wait.
Dana White once critiqued the commentators and said we could not do an interview without making it look painful. And I know Danny and I have certainly done our part here to support what Dana said. But best of luck to you, and I hope that down the road you get a new chair.
Thank you, guys.
You're the man, champ. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Islam.
You know, it's good to have Islam Makhachev join us. I cannot wait for UFC 302. That's going to be a phenomenal fight. And chill, as we talked about time and time again, this guy is like accidentally funny because he's so dry with the things that he says that he has a great personality. But moving forward, one of the guys that has a great personality, has a great fighting career behind him and is looking to correct everything is Conor McGregor as he takes on Michael Chandler. But it's not just Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler because it's never just about Michael Chandler with Conor McGregor. Now it's Sean O'Malley versus Conor McGregor right now. And Sean said, Chael, he would move up to fight Conor McGregor. He said, I would fight him at 55. First of all, it's a huge payday. Second of all, it's Conor. That would be legendary. He's one of the rare guys I would fight out of my weight class. Now, that sounds pretty respectful, but what Sean said prior was not as much. Is this a good thing that we now have the bantamweight champion talking about fighting a guy that's making his return at 170?
Daniel, can I let this breathe for just a minute? Because that, whether you know it or not, was actually my first time ever speaking to Islam. Islam struck me as supremely confident while remaining humble. And that's a very interesting combination. But I watched you do that. I watched you become the world champion, but you always stayed a nice guy. And I think one of the reasons for that is because Cain Velasquez was in the room all the time. Like, there was really never a time where you really felt maybe your level of success. And I think when I talk about Islam, like, as great as he is and nobody on the planet has beaten him in that octagon, he's got problems in the workout room each day with Khabib. Now, I bring that to you. Because O'Malley doesn't. O'Malley is the king of his room. He and his coach, Tim, who in full disclosure is a former teammate of mine, but I got to share with you, they've been the ones that are together and then they bring in other bodies and they're forming a team and they've got a nucleus out there, but he's the star of the show. And it's a very different environment than, say, the one you came through with AK, where you got Luke Rockhall and Josh Koscheck, Josh the Punk Thompson, or when I came through with Team Quest, where you got Randy Couture, Matt Lindland, Dan Henderson. I know we're name dropping here, but in all fairness, Sean is in a different spot.
We did have some great teams, though, didn't we?
Boy, that's we were on some good teams, weren't we? But Dan, we stayed so humbled. Like, we were doing well around the world, but we weren't necessarily winning every day at 3 o'clock. No. Not all of those rounds, right? I mean, they could bring some cameras in. There was pay-per-view worthy workouts. Sean's not in that spot. And I just want to make that observation to you, because I don't think there's an arrogance here like some people think. I don't think he's out there trying to run his mouth to get big fights. I think he is answering the questions that are asked of him, and he's got a little bigger confidence than maybe we grew up with.
Testing your skills on Prize Picks this playoff basketball season is the simplest way to get in on the action. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and submit your lineup. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Playoff time is the perfect time to join the community of over 5 million members who have already downloaded the app. They even offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. And this playoff season, the star players mean more on Prize Picks. Keep an eye out for starred players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. Just download the app today and use code GGBG for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code GGBG on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know, part of it is when guys feel attacked, right? You see that there. Sean O'Malley was a massive fan of Conor McGregor. But then Conor McGregor made a comment about Sean looping him into a group with Ryan Garcia, who Chael, by the way. It was just said yesterday that he did not fail the banned substance test, which is crazy. No. So it's like, he got looped into that, so I guess his feelings were a little bit hurt. He felt a little disappointed that Conor came at him in that way, so now he's talking about fighting him. When you talk about Sean O'Malley and his ability to win without having that circle around him to humble him, you say that, but I can state the truth to that because he still, right, Chael, will go to the team down in Phoenix with Mario Bautista, with all those guys. What's the name of that team down in Arizona? Henry used to train there. Fight Ready. He still sometimes goes to Fight Ready to try to get with those bodies because he doesn't have those in that gym that he has created for himself. A lot of people say that MMA is now at a point where you need to have a gym or a team that is about you and only about you. I think that is the truth. But you do need partners.
isn't this the move, though? I mean, isn't this the – everybody wants to align themselves with Connor. And if you're ever going to be a top draw in the sport, you got to get in there with Connor. O'Malley is now a top draw. I would say he's a top three. He's not McGregor. But in all fairness, he's the champion. In some ways, he's in front of McGregor. Which one of them is most likely to defend a world title? O'Malley. Which one of them is most likely to have more than two fights in the rest of their career? It's O'Malley, right? I mean, you talk about some shelf life. He's never going to get the match. Connor's never coming down. He's never going O'Malley's never going all the way up to 55. Isn't this the right move to come and stick it right in this guy's chest?
It feels like it raises or gets people talking. Because here's what Sean O'Malley needs to do, and I think this is one thing he recognizes. Merab Dvalishvili, for a guy like you, for a guy like me, it's so exciting. Because we love the wrestling. We love his ability to grind people out, truly take their will and their spirit and make them not want to fight him. But to the general fan, Merab Dvalishvili will not draw you in to a Sean O'Malley fight like some of these other guys, right? Sean doesn't have that as a challenger. So what do? The next best thing, Chael, the next best thing is to do this. Call out Connor. Get your name aligned with the biggest name in the sport, especially now that McGregor's coming back. So, and hope, Chael P, and hope that when Connor fights at International Fight Week, the biggest fight card of the year, generally for the UFC, Sean O'Malley is in that arena. They pan to him, right? When he's in they show the stars in the crowd. After the fight, hope Connor just dogs him out or something to just keep his name on that same playing field with him. And then as we move into his title defense, people are going, we know Sean O'Malley already, but now we know Sean O'Malley as the guy that Conor McGregor wants to fight after he gets through his next fight. And, oh, Conor's back. He just looks so good if Conor's able to get through Michael, you know, like he's hoping to.
And Daniel, let me just ask you straight up. Okay, let's play the game. But you got a magic wand and you can make this fight. Do you want to see O'Malley versus McGregor? Or does it feel like two different generations, three different weight classes? I mean, how does it strike you?
For me, it's just the weight classes are too much of a difference in weight class. Too big. Like, if Conor's big at 155. Now, when Conor was the 45-pound champion, he was much smaller. I would have said, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Two strikers getting after each other. But now, I don't think there's any world at which they could fight each other. Would it be fun? Yeah, it would be absolutely fun. But I just don't know that it would. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm done, Chael. I want things that make sense. I want to be logical in my life. For the last few weeks, I've been talking about John Jones and about seven people. None of it's happening. I don't know who's happening. We got a fight in Manchester with a heavyweight champion supposed to defend. There's no fights on the fight card. But like you said, it's sold out. I want to live in reality for a little bit. And that's not reality, Chael. I watch movies. I'm going to go see the Planet of the Apes on Friday night. I want to pretend. I'm going to pretend that there are walking apes somewhere after a freaking global pandemic and they're running the world. That's where I'm going to pretend.
In Oregon, Planet of the Apes drops at 12:01 in the morning. My son and I are going, and my son's going in costume. So let's recap on that. But I want to answer my own question. I don't know that I want to see that fight. I mean, in all fairness, I think that we could do it by proxy. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about O'Malley could in there with Max. That is a very possible match down the road. Max got in there with McGregor. You start to work things out. I mean, right? People like to say they don't love MMA math. MMA math is the closest thing to science that we have. I love MMA math. Oh, and by the way, I do think that Max is likely to get the jump on O'Malley, which means that Connor wins this entire thing. And hear me out on one final point. How good is O'Malley? I love the fact that you were talking about Merab and you were talking about those takedowns, but the way that O'Malley stopped Cheeto from even going for takedowns, he's better than I knew that he was, and I'm starting to buy into the hype, man. I'm starting to buy into this. Sean O'Malley's the real deal.
I'm done. I am done doubting Sean O'Malley. I was one that took the wait-and-see approach because when it happens fast, a lot of times the traditionalists like me will want to see that guy do something more before I start to anoint them. I'm done now. After what he did to Aljo, after what he did to Cheeto, I'm done, man. I believe that Sean O'Malley is as good as anyone in the world. I don't know if he can withstand Merab's style because he did get a little fatigued in the fight against Cheeto towards the end, But I just believe and think the world of this kid now. But chill, when we talk about Conor McGregor, he is at the forefront of fighting for a long time. And also, that sterling performance in Roadhouse. He was about as good an actor as I've seen in a really long time. But
I agree.
2 years ago, chill, already. 2 years ago was when Michael Chandler called out Conor McGregor for the very first time. He kicks Tony Ferguson in the face, gets on the mic, and calls out Conor McGregor. Why is it taking so long for it to come to fruition?
Boy. Daniel, they still allegedly don't have a signed contract, and they still allegedly haven't officially agreed on the weight class. Now, that fight is going to happen. I'm just speaking to your point that, yeah, it sure seems to be getting drug out. I got to tell you something. ESPN, before they were the distribution partner or even owners of UFC content, they were trying to show Dana and the UFC, hey, we can handle this and we're behind the sport. So ESPN right there in Bristol used to set an octagon up on campus. I was the lone employee covering MMA. So I go out there to Bristol and I'm doing an interview with Conor, and it happened to be the day that he gets the call that Aldo is out and Mendez is in. At any rate, I'm face to face with McGregor. We're all mic'd up and the cameras are filming, and his fiance, D was there, and I had just met her, but I didn't get the name. It went through real fast, so I whispered to Conor, we're in the octagon, and I said, hey, what's your fiance's name? And he goes, what? And I was like, uh-oh. So I said it the exact same way. Hey, what's your fiance's name? And he goes, what? And now we are face to face. So I, a third time, the exact same way. What's your fiance's name? And he goes, D. And he turned and walked away. And I don't know where that was going to go, by the way, but I would no longer be gainfully employed had anything happened. Right? I mean, it's Conor McGregor. Cody Garbrandt, before he was Cody Garbrandt, got face to face with him. Dana had to take him in the green room and explain to him which side of this bread's got the butter. I share that story because I can't talk about McGregor and go right into Chandler without telling you that I think I almost had to get the mix with him. And then you guess what I had to ask him? And the producer tells me this in my ear. They say, ask him how he's going to beat Mendez. So I do. I say, and Conor, what are you going to do with Mendez? Who's his brand new opponent? And Conor says, well, I might go Jeet Kune Do. And he goes, bah, bah, bomb. And he stops like right at my jugular. I was so impressed. I was so impressed with how fast he moved in his Bruce Lee style and that he could stop with the death punch. And then he says, or I might have to. And he goes into a whole nother style and he throws a kick and it's two more punches, but also stops right at the throat. I just remember feeling him. That's as close as I've ever got to feeling Conor. But I'll tell you what, DC, that speed is real.
You like him. You like Conor McGregor. Like, you really like him. I can tell he won you over with his karate. You're like the kid.
I'd have whipped his ass. But yes, he was fast. Yes. He was very fast.
You would. But you're like the kid that, like, your friend gets a karate outfit. He shows up at your house and he starts doing all kind of weird movements. And you're like, yo, this dude knows karate now. That's exactly what Conor did to you. And he won you over. Dude. But Michael Chandler does that call out. Michael Chandler has done a good job of recreating himself. It's like a rebrand, right? In WWE, where a guy is who he is for a long time. He goes away for a while. He comes back, and now he's different. And you just know he's carrying him. It was like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was the ringmaster. And all of a sudden, he said, Austin 316 says, bang. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what is this? I've seen this guy since WCW, but he's different. Michael Chandler comes to the UFC. He beats Dan Hooker. He goes full on Ric Flair. Beat me if you can. And you're like, wow, this guy's in the title picture right away. We're like, I want to see Michael Chandler. Forget that he had lost all them times in Bellator. Forget everything else. You wanted to see Michael Chandler. Then he does this with Conor McGregor. That call out to me, while it has taken a long time to come to fruition, was about as good a call out as we've seen in a long time. So this new Michael Chandler, the UFC Michael Chandler, does a great job of stating where he wants to go. But when you rate that call out, Chill, where does it stand for you in terms of historic call outs inside the octagon?
When Frankie Edgar retired, Chael Sonnen needed a new favorite fighter. And I got to tell you, as I'm like kind of interviewing guys, as you will, deciding who I'm going to hitch my wagon to, man,
it.
Chandler's in the top three. I'm loving this guy, and he's got a 50-50 record since I all of a sudden needed a top guy. But he's getting the entertainment side of it. Daniel, I do want to tell you something. One thing with Michael Chandler, and Justin Gaethje's got the same problem, and Dan Henderson had it before that, and Josh Koscheck at the simultaneous. They've fallen in love with some of the stand-up. A golfer will do this where he falls in love with his swing. That's what it's called in golf terms. He's fallen in love with his right hand. And the reason I say that, make no mistake, Conor McGregor went 30 minutes with Floyd Mayweather. Make no mistake, no man is safe in a fisticuffs with a fresh Conor McGregor. You want to tell me about round four, round five? I'll go ahead and listen to you. Michael Chandler needs to close that distance and get him down fast. And that's one thing that nobody's talking about. They're talking about the Roadhouse, and they're talking about, is Conor coming back? And they're talking about 300, and what's the delay, and why is the weight class? Excuse me. 80% of fights go to the ground. That's true. 100% of fights start standing up. And Michael Chandler had better find a way to close that distance, and I mean now.
He won't do it. He won't do it, Chael.
He's not going to do it.
He will tell you why.
I know it.
He will not do it. He will not do it. And you know why he's not going to do it?
Why do you say that, Daniel?
I'm telling you why he won't do it. So for years you've been saying, Michael Chandler needs to use his wrestling. Michael Chandler is falling. And then he did it against Dustin Poirier, and he got tired. And then Dustin submitted him. And because of that, he will never go back to that well. He knows that fighting in the stand-up fight, you get less fatigued. And while you do run the risk of getting knocked out, you're not going to feel that fatigue, Chael. And you and I both know that fatigue that wrestling in that octagon can provide, where it just really makes, when it goes sideways, right? When the takedowns are harder than you expect them to be, when it's harder to keep the guy down, when you don't get to take that breath, when you score the takedown, it's hard. You start to question, why did I take this path? Michael Chandler did that against Dustin, controlled him bad in the first round, was winning the fight. Dustin ends up submitting him. He won't wrestle him. And I think, honestly, that's why he's fighting Conor McGregor. Because Conor's going to get a guy that's going to stand with him. And that means that Conor will have an opportunity to try to knock him out. You know, Michael Chandler also has had some great knockouts.
DC, I'm sorry. That was an excellent analysis by you.
Thank you.
That was as well said as that can be said. And by the way, I hope they clip this, because if this doesn't happen, you and I don't deserve these roles. I am co-signing everything that you just said, and for the same reasons. And on June 29th, we're going to find out if you and I are good at this job or not.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the truth. But that's why. I think that's why. But even on that night when he was able to make that call out, he landed that head kick on Tony Ferguson, who many believe that Tony Ferguson's days are done. His best days are for sure behind him, but him even walking into an octagon may be too much of a task for present-day Tony Ferguson. When is it time to hang up the gloves? People say that Tony should be done. He hasn't. Matt Brown the other day, as in true Matt Brown fashion too, Chael, no big hoopla, no gala, no 100,000-word paragraph. It was, that's it, I'm done, it's over. Matt Brown retires. How was it making that decision that it was time for you, Chael, and how hard was that?
Proud is a weird word. When one grown man calls another grown man and tells him he's proud of him, it can sound condescending. I am proud of Matt Brown. I love the way he did that. I love the decision he came to. Not for nothing, I'm giving Lionheart a good solid look. Not for nothing, I was kind of thinking we had a deal with Jose Aldo. Not for nothing, I was kind of thinking we had a deal with Chris Weidman. And my point is the fighter's usually the last one to know. And the fighter generally, there's no drug like it. There's no high like it. There's no rush like it. You cannot reenact, even in your fantasy, of walking into a crowd of 15,000 people, whether they're cheering or booing, but that energy, having Bruce say your name and they slam that door. I mean, it's one of those things. Every gambler, right, he wants one more pull. Every alcoholic, he's got to have one more drink. And every fighter's got to have one more walk. And but he makes a deal. This is it. And win or lose isn't important to me. This is my last one. But it never goes that way. Unless your name George St. Pierre or your name Lennox Lewis, you generally go out on your back and embarrassed. That's just the way that these seem to go. And, you know, so when you ask me, You know, how much does somebody have left? It's a tough one, man. What were your goals? Did you see it all the way through? What opportunities do you believe are in front of you? You know, and by the way, can you live with going out with one more loss or a loss? You have to always imagine that worst case scenario. Daniel, and I see so many people trying to sell a book on Amazon for $9 and tell you all about confidence and you must believe in yourself. Man, you must be realistic with yourself. You can then hope and then have a courage, but nobody actually knows. That's just something you say after the fact to manufacture and sound good in front of a bunch of kids. And I'm just saying it's one of those things, man. It's a tough spot. I'm not calling for Lionheart retirement, for example, or Jose's, but I was very proud of Matt Brown.
Yeah, it was awesome to see him not make a big deal of it, but I think you know it's time when you start thinking about the end or the other side. So when I would always say, I'll be done at 40, I'll be done at 40, and I kept going because the money got so good that I went to 41. When I walked out of that octagon after I lost that last title fight, I said it's over. But I knew it was over.
Daniel, what was your moment? What was your moment when you knew it's coming to a head?
I knew it was over. I knew it was over
when?
Before I fought Stipe Miocic in Anaheim. Because I couldn't train the same way. Wasn't the same guy. Like, the reason I got so much success was because I worked so hard and I wrestled so much. Like, the amount of wrestling that I was doing inside that gym chill, you'd be like, wow, these guys were really, really wrestling. And I couldn't do that no more. I was managing my wrestling entries. I was wrestling once a day. I didn't have college coaches coming in anymore training me like I was a college wrestler. I knew it was over before that fight. But
Daniel,
the money had got too good
in
the championships.
Daniel, there was a rumor that you had sneezed on a treadmill and threw your back out. Is
that
true?
Was in New York. That was the day of the
Derrick Lewis
fight. The day of the fight, I sneezed and threw my back out. And I was like, man, it might be over. It was over. Because I had fought three times in the year before. And I could get through those three fights pretty easily. But by that one, the wear and tear was starting to... Because you remember, Chael, they watched us compete on the world's grandest stage, but they didn't see all those days and nights we spent in the wrestling room. And that's what caught up to me. All the days on the wrestling mat caught up to me, and I just knew. But those championships, man, the idea that you could still be the best in the world for a guy like me, it was too much of a draw. And when I couldn't anymore, it was over. I knew. It was over. So, Chael, one of the guys that I fought during my UFC run was Derrick Lewis. Derrick Lewis is fighting this weekend against Nascimento. We have to look forward after that fight, and we do our headline hunch. What do you think, coming out of that heavyweight battle, will be the headline hunch going into Monday's show?
Derrick Lewis is going to have a good night. Derrick Lewis is going to finish this fight. Derrick Lewis is going to lose the fight up until that point. That's what I feel like is going to happen. When I watch his opponent, he gets a little bit careless as he starts to pull away. He's going to have a pretty easy time with Derrick, and it's going to bite him in the butt. Derrick's going to knock him out.
You know, my headline hunch is going to be, is Carlos Ulberg the real deal, right? He's getting an opportunity now to fight against Alonzo Menifield. Alonzo Menifield's a very tough guy. He's been around the sport for a long time. He's fought some of the best. Can he handle him? And if he does, how big of a fight is on the horizon for Carlos Ulberg?
Daniel, can I do something for me? I got to ask you a question, but David Taylor, the Olympic champion, the number one ranked pound-for-pound fighter, wrestler in the world, to your alma mater, he is going to Stillwater. He is the new head coach of Oklahoma State. He has no experience, but he's got a whole bunch of gold medals. Is this the right move?
You know, when you're Oklahoma State, right, you want to have the right guy. A wonderful problem. A wonderful fact in regards to Oklahoma State wrestlers. We had our own Olympic champion that stayed there for so long. He was ready to move on. They did a very good search. It's very hard for the prior staff because we all know them. We're all like family. Coleman Scott and Chris Perry and all those guys. And I love those guys. But when I look at this and you look at it for what Oklahoma State has done traditionally, this is what they've done. They've gone out and got the best guy. They went and they found a guy that's young, he's fresh, he's knowledgeable, and he has the right type of ideas to try to move the program forward. You and I both know, Chael, of guys that have watched Oklahoma State wrestling. Recently, we have not been to Oklahoma State that people have come to expect. I believe with David Taylor at the helm, with David Taylor, a guy that loves Oklahoma State, man. He's been around Oklahoma State his entire life. And a guy that's as excited about the opportunity, I think we're going to be just fine. David Taylor is the right guy. And today, he just announced some of his staff, his brother-in-law, Jimmy Kennedy, who wrestled at Illinois, I believe, and also Thomas Gilman, who's a world champion and Olympian, Olympic bronze medalist, is on the staff too. I'm hearing that they're going to keep Dayton Fix, who is one of our Cowboys, and I'm hoping that they keep Tyler Caldwell, who is Tyler Caldwell is a tremendous coach, and you need to keep someone in there that knows the business, knows Oklahoma State, and has worked in that athletic department to kind of help you as you go forward.
It is almost paramount that he keep Caldwell. Now, I want to co-sign everything you said and just remind you, there is one NCAA allotted spot left, I believe, that has been offered to Kyle Dake. I also believe that Kyle Dake wants to train for the Olympic Games in State College. So he hasn't accepted. That is a rumor. I fully admit it. And I'll tell you another rumor. I think that David Taylor ought to be on the phone with Gable Steveson, lock him down for a quad, keep him through 28 in Los Angeles. You got something, big guy?
Yeah, well, I spoke to David and I asked him about Dake. He said, I want him to focus on Paris. But once he's done with Paris, I will try to get him to come out to Stillwater. That's from the man himself. He would love to have Kyle Dake in Stillwater. And we as Cowboys would also love to have the world champion in Stillwater. And I wish I would have talked to Islam about the great Kyle Dake, because Kyle Dake makes a habit of beating up on the Russian guys. And I love that for Islam and them. But guys, enjoy the fights this weekend. Chael and I will be back on Monday with a brand new episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. Monday and Tuesday, every week, YouTube, ESPN Plus, ESPN2, and wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, peace.